You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots the ball, he scores,
and head the ball, and
scoring the goal.
Ball and kick the ball to score a goal.
Hello, welcome along to the League One and League Two version of the League podcast. We are at the final day of the regular season, playoffs, of course, to come, and we're in the company of Jason Lewis from the72.co.uk to have a look through six featured matches from the two divisions. Hey, Jason, you well?
I am very well, Lee. It's been a great week.
Yes, indeed. Anyone who doesn't know the reason why, Jason, have your moment of glory.
Well, it was quite a day on Monday night down at the goal stands, really, for us Pimpot Bournemouth fans as we finally got over the line. It's been a long few weeks, really, but Premier League football, I never thought I'd see the day, really, at my little Bournemouth would be there. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to enjoy every single moment of it.
Yeah, and so you should as well. I would like to say, though, that I think you're counting your chickens a little bit. Still not over. Still not over.
Well, really, they're saying it's 19-0. It's only got to be a 10-0 win for Charlton and 9-0. For the teams behind us.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not as big as it seems. Funny, I'll be nervous at Charlton. I'll certainly be hoping we get the first goal, put it that way.
I use Soccerway, the website. I mentioned this on the other podcast. And if you go on the Soccerway and open up your game at the weekend, on the most popular predictions bit on the right-hand side, there are 9-0s in there. It's like more people have predicted 9-0 than anything else. So I thought that was quite amusing.
Nah.
Let's
good
start
with the Charlton Twitter page, really, as well. I did like that.
Yeah, that was good. It was very good, wasn't it? Let's have a look through the League One, League Two games. League One, we're doing this a bit back to front this week because League One finishes on Sunday at 12:15. We're going to have a look at three of the matches. First up, we'll have a look at Crewe versus Bradford City. Bradford City are in eighth position. On 62 points, while Crewe are currently in 19th position and still in danger. 52 points, Crawley are on 50, Colchester United are on 49. And the problem for Crewe, Jason, is that they've got a minus 31 goal difference, which is the worst in the division, apart from Yeovil Towns, who are, of course, rock bottom. The prices here have Crewe at 7-5, 21-10 the draw, and 15-8 for Bradford. Big game.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing game. You just look at the clash at this end of the table, really. You've got a couple of games like this one and the Gillingham game coming up where you've got teams with nothing to play for against teams with everything. And then you've got that like Crawley v Coventry, which they're playing each other. That is a huge game. Because really, if Crawley can get 3 points there, they're safe because they'll have more points than Coventry. So then it's just whether Coventry are safe. So, but on to this one anyway, Crewe v Bradford. It's tough on Crewe, unbeaten in four games, but that worst goal difference, they do probably need a win in this one. And wins have been hard to come by for them, not one at home in four games since they beat Scunthorpe in early March. However, on a positive, they've lost just twice at home in 2015. So you've got to sway maybe that this is going to be possibly all right for Crewe to get through. But then Bradford come in, nothing really to play for. They've fallen just short of those playoff spots. A long old season. I've made it, this will be their 58th game of the season. Come Sunday, after making it through to the sixth round of the FA Cup, it's been another great year for Bradford as a club. Really, it's a shame they've missed out on those playoffs. And themselves, they've only just lost once in the last six away games, but only picked up one victory in those. So Bradford have drawn the second most away games this season, whilst Crewe have drawn the third most home games. So I don't want to be a bit boring, but the draw at 21-10 stands out really for me. And if you're looking for something just a little bit safer, Crewe have only failed to score in four home games since Christmas. And then while Bradford scored those five, they've scored in those last five games, they're getting a bit tongue-tied. Other than that defeat, they've scored in all those five games. So really, both teams to score here. You could fancy a 1-0 or a 2-2, but just both teams to score here because one team might nick a late, one Crewe might need a late drama, and they might get really digging deep and get a winner to secure their place in the league. So they'd be my two here, but the draw just stands out for me here. I just don't think Crewe have enough to get past this Bradford side. on the face of the form coming into it.
No, it looks a very fair shout, that. Next up, let's have a look at that game that Jason referenced, Gillingham versus Notts County. Gillingham are 12th with 59 points, so season well over for them. And comfy in mid-table. Notts County, not so comfy at all. 50 points they're on, joint with Crawley. Just one more than Colchester, just two more than Leighton Orient, so they could get swallowed up by the pack here. The thing that's in their favour, I suppose, Jason, is that goal difference. They've got a better goal difference than Crewe, than Crawley and Colchester. Four better than Colchester, so you'd think that'd be enough, but they've got a six worse goal difference than Leighton Orient, and they've got a four worse goal difference than Coventry. So it's pretty a pretty convoluted picture. What we do know is that Gillingham are 17-10, Notts County are 7-5, and the draw is 11-5. The odds aren't dissimilar to the Crewe Bradford game.
Yeah, they're very similar sort of ideas, and there are some odd prices around, really. I can't for the life of me back Notts County in this game. I know Pete's been mentioning recently that the prices for these teams when they do have to get a result do shorten drastically. But Gillingham here at 17-10 really just seems ridiculous. They won the last two home games against side much better than Notts County. They beat Bradford and Rochdale. Those two sides just missed out on the playoffs. They're sat there in 7th and 8th. So they're two quality sides. They've lost just twice at home in 2015, both by a single goal. Notts County, they finally did win last week against Doncaster. And they really needed to, otherwise that they were probably going to be down. So, nevertheless, 11 games without a win just gives me no confidence to back them at the price they're being given here. So, Gillingham are just too strong for me here. Notts County, four games since November they've won. I just can't, in any form, find anything to make me want to back them. And even you'll get the draw no bet here on Gillingham, it's probably the safest bet you'll get a week, really, for me, at either money. Some funny prices at this time of the year. And just for me, that stands out, really. And Notts County inevitably don't score a lot of goals. There's 32 all season. And Gillingham have a tendency to keep games perhaps closer than they should against these weaker sides. And perhaps it's why they're in mid-table and not at the top end, because they've let a few slip. Five of their last six home games have all been under 2.5 goals. So you've got that here at 8-11. But really, it's whether you're feeling bold on Gillingham and just going with a form, but really more than anything, or if you want to be a bit safer, the draw no bet, even money, is an absolute steal, in my opinion.
The final game, Jason, is it's one that even before you'd sent me your games, I didn't know what was going on here. Swindon Town are playing Leighton Orient. Swindon are fourth, safely in the playoffs, playing Leighton Orient, who obviously have got stuff to play for here. They've got 48 points. They can still get out of danger. But Swindon are at home and they're 17-10 to beat Leighton Orient. 23-10 the draw, 7-5 Orient. On any other given day of the season, 17-10 would be an absolutely massive price. Is it still big?
It's huge. It's absolutely brilliant, though, for Swindon here for me. If you look, Swindon and Gillingham are being priced up at the same money here. Probably not counting Leighton Orient, are two similar teams. Swindon sit third in this division, or fourth, in this division. They've possibly could have got promoted, they still might get promoted in the playoffs. How they're near approaching 2-1 to be a side who are fixed second from bottom in the division is utterly ridiculous. I was always going to comment and phone up William Hill to check that this was right before I got on it, really.
Me too.
It's just utterly mental. I just don't get it, really. They did slip up at home to Yeovil, Swindon, but I can't see Mark Cooper having a repeat of that. And he might want to rest some players here ahead of the playoffs. I don't know. I'm not in his shoes. But even if he does, I always think new players coming in, they want to fight for a shirt. They want to be there in those playoff games. They're going to have a point to prove, really. And Leighton Orient is it's sad, really. I spoke about it the other week. They've gone from the playoff final down to the midst of this division. And it looks like League Two football for them next season, really. They do need a lot to happen on this final day to stay up. It's definitely not in their hands. And it's just there, really. It's just Swindon 17-10. I just look at it, and other than just saying I'd back it over the hill, really, more than anything, it's just such a good price. And when I think of Leighton Orient, I just think crazy games with huge amount of goals. I don't know if you agree on this, but 23 of their games this season have been over 2.5 goals. So it's around half of them. 15 of these have been over 3.5 goals. They love to have an absolute goal fest in some of their games, and Swindon here have nothing to lose. I'd hope they'd throw everything at Orient to entertain the fans and give them something to cheer about into the playoffs. So I'm going to be bold. Don't really back the over 3.5 a lot, but it's a massive price here, 21-10. But Can I see Swindon win this game 3-1? Yes. Could I see a shock 2-0 draw? Yes. Could I see a 4-1 Swindon maybe? Yes. I can't see Leighton Orient win this game. I could see them perhaps getting a 2-2 on a very odd day, and I'd be questioning what's going on in football. But 21-10 over 3.5 is another big price here for when both teams are going to need goals. If whoever scores first, the other team are going to come back at them, really. And just one last bit here, Andy Williams. I was looking at some of the statistics for this guy. 21 goals from his 50 appearances this season. But then when you realise he hasn't scored a goal since March 7th against Notts County, you wonder what might have happened or what's really happened to him. And it's, I think it's no coincidence that his lack of goals has matched Swindon's poor run and then tailing away from the top two spots in the division. But nevertheless, 13-10, I fancy him here to at least get one against Leighton Orient, really. So that would be there. But just anything else I say in this game, 17-10 on Swindon is probably the best price you might have got in this division all season, let alone on the final day, in my opinion. He's shaking the ball to get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal.
Yeah, it looks an absolute belter, doesn't it? Waiting until the final day of the season to perhaps get one of the bets of the season, Swindon there. Let's move into League Two, where Jason Lewis has picked three more games. And we will start with Morecambe versus Southend. All these games being played on Saturday at 3 o'clock, incidentally. So, like I said, we're going back in time a little bit here. Southend, of course, are third on 84 points. Can still be caught by Bury, of course, but can't go any higher. And they're playing this Morecambe team, who are 12th with 60 points. Can't get into the playoffs. So it's all about what the third place team do here, Jason. The prices are 19-5 for Morecambe, 12-5 the draw, and 7-10 for Southend, who really, when you look at the table as it stands right now, they got a plus 18 goal difference. Bury have got plus 19. So a draw wouldn't be enough if Bury were to win either. They need to win this game to be assured of an automatic playoff, automatic promotion. Sorry,
they do need to win, but really, I'd back them here. They've just seven wins in a row now, and they aren't just the form side in League Two; they're the form side in England by quite a way. And it's credit to them. We spoke about them last week. I napped them last week. It came in late, but it did happen. And it's just really, Southend is 7-10. I feel like I'm being a bit of a pessimist here, going for a slightly team who are odds on when there are big prices around like that, Swindon. But Southend on a crest of a wave, without sounding like a broken record, after another win to nil last weekend, it's seven games, seven wins, and they haven't conceded a single goal. And prior to that, they drew 0-0. So that 12 hours and the ball hasn't gone in the Southend net, which is quite some record, really. So them to win here to nil, I don't want to sound like Pete here backing the same thing every week with his Charlton bet, but 6-4 here on another Southend win to nil is another good option here. It just seems Morecambe may have caused an upset against Wickham last weekend. However, the way Southend have been playing, it's a much tougher test for me. And one win in eight at home since February for Morecambe, failed to score in eight home games this season. It just seems to tickle the boxes again for another Southend little 1-0 win, really, for me. And I think it will be a close game. I can't see Southend romping away maybe 2 or 3-0, and it's going to be a tight. So that brings in the handicap field is certainly something that comes into play here. Southend winning margin of 1, so the tie handicap on Southend -1 pre-game, or if you're doing it in play, it changes, obviously. But 12 of Morecambe's last 17 defeats this season, or 12 of their 17 defeats all season, have been by just a single goal. In Southend, they keep their fans on edge. 15 of their 24 wins have been by a single goal. And I think, as a team on this podcast, really, we like to see things happen more times than not when we're betting things. Did you say that right, Lee?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, so when we see things like that, I think we all feel confident in all our tips, but we just get that extra buzz to really back that price. So 12-5 here for Swindon to effectively win by a one-goal margin, so 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, this is a bit of a crazy game. He's a really good price here for me, and I'm very in the pro-Southend camp here. I think they'll get over the line. I think credit to them, they've ended the season really well, and I think it's just going to win. Perhaps a nervy game. There might be a few people in that away end biting their fingernails, but I think it'll be a good day if you're a Southend fan. And any of those free bets, I think, are solid efforts. Personally, my favourite would be the handicap tie, Southend -1 at 12-5, though.
Yeah, very nice. Portsmouth versus York next. 13-10, Pompey. York are 2-1, and the draw is 21-10. York City are in 19th position on 51 points. Portsmouth in 16th position on 56 points. It's a pretty easy-ozy game, this one, compared to some of the others that we've been previewing, Jason.
It's pretty standard game, really. Not a lot going on. It's probably the only one this weekend, really, I've picked out where there's neither team's got anything to play for. But it's just, I think, I've got a feeling about Portsmouth here. Just, I know the club fairly well, being from a bit of a South Coast lad, and sort of history repeating itself this season at Fram Park. Last season, they sat Richie Barker, Andy Orford came in, caretaker charge, won 5 out of 5 games, they stayed safe. This time, after Orford himself's been relieved of his duties, they managed to finally get a win last weekend at Mansfield, their first away win since February. So, if you're thinking things repeat themselves in football, Portsmouth here at 13-10 is certainly where you should be going. And as most people in football with probably any primitive knowledge of Pompey or League Two, there certainly always have been and probably always will be a much stronger side at home at Fratton Park. And they've picked up 11 wins this season at home. That's 38, and with the draw as well, 38 of their 56 points this season have come from games at Fratton Park. So, really, when you look at York, they credit them, I mentioned last week again, that they came back from possibly in a mire of relegation out of the Football League. And I think probably the burden of having that on their shoulders for long parts of the season, after finally getting safe and secure, and they have certainly relaxed and are thinking about where they're going to be going on their summer holidays. After an unbeaten run of 6 games, back-to-back defeats at Shrewsbury and at home to Newport, who we'll soon mention cannot bar win at the moment, has made a bit low-key for them to end the season. So I just like the look of Portsmouth at 13-10. It's certainly a great price to be had. And if you're looking for something else, I think goals-wise, I'm a big fan of Matt Tubbs. Always rated his work rate, and he's, as my sort of player, sort of nippy striker, likes to tap in, always in and around the box, a bit like Teddy Sheringham, a bit of a poacher. So really here, I don't know whether he's rated this season. I didn't think he scored this many goals. He's got 23 goals this season. He's certainly had a better half of the season when he was at Wimbledon than at Portsmouth. So I think the end of the season, it's probably 7 out of 10 if you're rating his season out of 10, but to be 23 goals is a fine record, and he's certainly one of the most feared strikers around the league. So really, he scored last weekend. It was his first goal in a while, so I can see him making it 2 goals in 2 to end the season. Anytime it's 7-5, if you want to double it up with a Portsmouth win, 5-2. And just simply, I think Portsmouth here is just going to end what's been another perhaps disappointing season for them with a win, and maybe next year might be the time that this, as some call it, the League Two sleeping giant finally wake up and get back at the top end of the table.
The final game that we're going to look at is Newport County versus Oxford United. Newport, 65 points, 3 points outside the playoffs, but with a vastly inferior goal difference to Plymouth and Luton, for that matter. Oxford are a full 7 points behind them on 58 points in 14th position. The betting sees Newport at 11-8, 21-10 the draw, and 15-8 for Oxford, Jason.
Yes, I would start looking at Newport, really. There's teams in the Football League, say, I'm back, where you've got the bottom team, like Blackpool, Yeovil, the obvious ones, and then like Notts County, how badly their season then. And the way Newport have ended this season, despite winning last week, I think they certainly fall into that category. It's just falling apart, really. They did win last week, but that inferior goal difference, unless we're talking mega goals again and ridiculous scorelines, it's impossible. I'm going to say they're not going to get in the playoffs. It's definitely not going to happen for them. So I wouldn't go near them with a barge pole, really, in this game. And then you look at Oxford. They've ended the season really well. I'm beating 7 games. Do you back them here against a team who are doing so poorly, or feel maybe over the course of the season that why Oxford are mid-table is perhaps they don't win enough games when they should? So the draw no bet here, 11-10. It doesn't matter whether Oxford are you going on their form or whether over the season. I think they don't get beaten by this Newport side, and it's whether you get your money back or whether you get profit with your 11-10. I think it has to be exploited. 7 wins and 7 draws for Oxford this season on the road is a solid record, if not amazing. It's a pretty average, mediocre record, but there's certainly worse around. So a few might be tempted to go that outright price for Oxford, but for me, slightly more towards the draw. So to cover it, I'll take the draw no bet. I just don't want to go Newport at all in this game, the way their season's ended. And I think they just want it to end as quickly as possible. And so let's say from a pure stats point of view, the draw and both teams to score at 3-1 is offering you some great value. Over Newport's home games and Oxford away games this season, the score draw has been the most frequent result in terms of the winning, so if they're winning or losing margin. So it's happened in 30% of Newport's home games and 20% of Oxford's. we spoke earlier about when stuff happens the most. We like the look of it, and certainly there for me, if you want a bit of a punt this weekend, 3-1 the draw and both teams to score could be certainly one to have.
Very nice indeed. Final nap of the regular season, Jason. We obviously continue them through the playoffs, so no need to worry just yet. Well, for me mainly. Where are you going for? Pete went for over 3.5 goals in the Derby County match. And I went along a similar line, actually. I went for over 3.5 in the Wolves game. Two teams obviously chasing promotion and two teams who are keen to score goals. So we both went for those. I think mine was 2-1. I think Pete's was 13-8. What are you going for?
Well, I've been doing, ending the season quite well. I'm almost like a south end here. I'm on a couple of wins. I think I looked at last week, I forgot to mention this. I think out of my six result picks last week, I had a full set. I'm the quiet. Yeah.
Oh, you should have let me know. I didn't realise.
Oh, no, 6-6. I was looking at it. I was quite smug, but I thought, I landed my nap and you didn't, I didn't really want to bring it up like any sad grades or anything, really. But here, I think. I think you probably guessed it. It's Swindon at 17-10 for me, really. Yeah. It's not going to happen. It's that price for a reason, probably. But I can't turn down 17-10 on Swindon, who are a far better team than Leighton Orient. So that'll be mine this weekend. And I'm just looking forward to what's going to be an exciting weekend. Perhaps I think these two bottom divisions, after the promotion and relegation sorted itself out in the Championship, there's quite a bit to look at in these two leagues, so it's going to be an interesting weekend.
Yeah, it is going to be. The playoffs, of course, all begin on Thursday the 7th of May, and we'll be previewing each of the first and second legs from all three divisions on the league podcast, so make sure you look out for the podcast. We'll be tweeting them, of course, as well, and they're available at the72.co.uk, where you'll find loads of preview and review articles and plenty more besides during the final stages of the season. Also, you can get them at williamhill.com/podcast. They're available on iTunes, and you can subscribe via William Hill Football on the music store there, or go to Audio Boom, loads of places to find them. Jason, thanks for your time this week, mate, and we'll speak to you before the playoffs.
Cheers, Lee, look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.